seated. Join with me in a time of prayer. Father, you are so wonderful, and you are mightily and powerfully at work in our hearts and lives to both do and to accomplish your purposes, not only here within our body, within our church family, Lord, but also within the world. We thank you that you have prayed for us. We thank you that you have brought us before the Father's throne. And we thank you, Lord, for the protection that you offer through your Spirit. And so we ask, Lord, that you would not only guide us, but that you would keep us in the way that you have called us to walk. It is a narrow way, but it is the way of your choice, gracious Lord. It is a hard way, but it is the way of your choice. It is a difficult way, but it is the way of your choice for us as your people. So bless, Lord, this message, that it might reach not just our ears, but that our hearts would also receive all that you have prepared, Lord, for your saints to receive today. We pray and ask in your holy and powerful name, the name of Jesus, and all the people of God said,
amen.
Well, we are, as Dick shared with us, we are upon our last message in this sermon series, What's There to Pray About? And today is our sixth and final message in that series. And so at the start of the series, I confess to all of you the difficulty in preaching on this topic of what there is to pray about, because there are so many, many amazing prayers all throughout the Bible. So it was very hard to choose the right ones to share with you. But if anything, I hope and pray that this series has helped you to make some connections back into the lives of those like David and Hannah and Ezra and St. Stephen, and that you have found some places where you have been blessed by their prayers for your own life. Well, today's final prayer in the series is from Jesus himself. In John 17, we find this very, very powerful prayer of protection for his followers. And at the heart of his prayer, I'd like to ask a fundamental question, and the question is simply this. Do you need to be protected? Do you need that? I know that we pay out an awful lot of money on insurance policies to protect our home and our car and our life, and I'm sure that you do also. Do we need to be protected? Now, I don't mean protected in the sense of being protected from the mob, but just protected in general. And if you do need to be protected, what do you need to be protected from? Now, if you are a Harry Potter fan, how many of you are Harry Potter fans in the congregation this morning? May I see a show of hands? Okay. You must be the remnant community, I think. Janet and Brittany, they slipped up their hands. They are Harry Potter fans. Well, I think they're more than just fans. I think they're actually fanatics, really, would be a better way to describe their following of Harry Potter. And you'll understand that Harry has his wand and his spells that protect him from danger. But he also has something else, which is called his invisibility cloak. It's really cool, and I love the invisibility cloak. When Harry throws his invisibility cloak over his head and over his body, he is protected from any of his enemies ever seeing him. I mean, when we were little, how many of us, perhaps if we don't have a great number of Harry Potter fans in the sanctuary this morning, some of us may recall that when we got into just a little bit of trouble about something that really wasn't your fault, you would run and hide behind mom's apron, yes? Perhaps there was a threat of an older sibling coming your way or the neighborhood bully, and you ran behind mom's apron. Why? Not only because it's a safe place, but because nobody's going to mess with mama, right? And you knew that. And so that's the safe place that you ran to. To be protected usually means that, you know, you've got some weapon, a wand, a shield, a spell to cast, or some way that you can ward off the unpleasantries of life. So the desire to be protected is a necessary part of the human experience, or else we wouldn't be paying out all of these hundreds of dollars on insurance policies. Now, sometimes we even choose a mate on the basis of our determination of whether we think that they can protect us or not. And all of us depend, as we remember upon this Memorial Day weekend, upon the defense and the protection of our armed services. Others who have laid down their lives for our protection. And had they not done so, had they not protected us, well, German or Japanese might be the languages that we are speaking, perhaps. And think how annoying and troublesome it is when someone can't be protected, yes? When, for example, a woman is raped, or a child is abused, or when someone driving to the grocery store is killed by a drunk driver. Or think about the terrible event of the terrorist attacks in Manchester that occurred on Monday of this week. Yet again, another terrorist attack is gripping the world. And then think of all those who feel like they have failed to protect those who were killed, especially the little children. I'm sure that the father of little 8-year-old Safi Rose Roussos, who died in that terrorist attack there in the Manchester arena, just having a happy evening, young little girl, I think that her father would have gladly have taken her place to protect her, to allow her to have a long and lengthy life. And so at the heart of our need to feel protected is the fact that we all recognize, and perhaps now more than ever, given the day and age that we are living in, that we're all vulnerable. Whether we go to the grocery store, whether we're in school, whether we're in the library, whether we're in a church, we're all vulnerable. That we do not have the strength of Superman, the shield of Captain America, or even yet the invisibility cloak of Harry Potter. So in his prayer for his disciples, Jesus gives us another threat to be concerned about. Yes, he is concerned that we're vulnerable to the temptations of this world and the violence and the misery and the despair that can surround us. Jesus lived in a great time of violence and misery and despair. So he's got that. He understands that. In the age of the Gospels, Jesus had to protect not only his followers from the wrath of Rome, the hypocritical teachings of the Pharisees, but he also had to protect them from something that was far worse. The fact that they could become spiritually lost. We know that it is possible for religious people to become lost. Just look at Charles Manson or Jim Jones. Both of them thought that they were the Messiah. Yeah? Or the mullahs of Iran. And we have plenty of examples of those who are lost spiritually. All these things we know to be true. But is it possible for a Christian to become lost? Jesus seems to think that without his protection, it is. And perhaps our most profound example of this is found in the Old Testament, where the children of Israel, who were freed by God's love and power and grace, they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. They were his called and chosen people. They were the people who cried out to God, and God heard their cries. And they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Why? Because they turned their back on God, all to worship the golden calf. For God's children to lose their way, to forget what road they are on, or to become so distracted by the cares of this life, the Word of God bearing no fruit in our lives at all these things can no doubt cause a Christian to become lost. One of the things that Jesus also says in John's gospel is, I called them so that they might go and bear fruit. And so he wants to, as any farmer would want to do, to protect your fruit. Yes? And that's why Jesus prays in John 17. Knowing the precarious nature of our faith, Jesus says some very unsettling things to us. First, he says, you know, don't be afraid of the one who can kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both the body and the soul in hell. And in a tender moment towards the end of his earthly ministry, as he overlooks the rebellious and wayward city of Jerusalem, he cries out, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kills and stones the prophets that are sent to you, how often would I have gathered you under my wings like a hen gathers her chicks under her wings for protection. But you were not willing, he said. Here we can hear the desperate plea of his divine heart. His divine heart to protect his own. No wonder Psalm 91 and verse 4 says, he will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises. Where do we find his faithful promises, people? We find them within the Word of God. The psalmist says his faithful promises will protect you. And I love the King James version as it renders this verse from Psalm 91:4. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. And did not Martin Luther, the great Protestant reformer, pen, a mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark, a tower, a castle that never crumbles, never fails, our shelter, he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. But perhaps his greatest teaching, expressing his desire to protect his followers, and that's you and I, is found in the parable of the lost sheep who has strayed from the fold of God. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he does what? He abandons the sheep and he runs away. The man who is the hireling, he runs away. He's got no vested interest in protecting the sheep. And Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. My sheep know me. They know my voice, just as the Father knows me. And I lay down my life for the sheep. He says, Isaiah picks up this theme, actually lays the foundation for it, where he says, we all like sheep, we have gone astray. We've all wandered from the fold. Each of us, Isaiah says, has turned to our own way. Robert Robinson, the 18th century minister and hymn writer, wrote at the very young age, can you believe this, at the age of 22, that famous hymn, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. Verse 3 goes, Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God, he to rescue me from danger, interposed his precious blood. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. And so in John 17, Jesus prays for you and for me. He asks his Father. He does not ask the CIA, the FBI, or the Homeland Security, but he asks his Father to protect us. And the word for protect in the Greek is tereo, and it means to keep guard or to watch over. You know, when I was a young father, I used to protect Brittany by singing her some lullabies at night as she climbed into bed. Maybe you've done somewhat of the same thing, or maybe you're doing that now and singing songs of faith. May they be protection over our young loved ones. And so, when Jesus prayed for us, the meaning of tereo, it has the meaning of this: to keep intact. Jesus' prayer of protection for you and I is to keep us intact. That's the essence of tereo. In Jesus' prayer, he's praying that his Father would keep your heart, your life, and your spirit intact. So that when you feel the urge to wander, Lord, I feel it, tereo, he keeps us intact. Jesus' prayer is, Father, keep their lives from unraveling. Keep them from falling apart. Keep them from repeating the same mistake that your children once did as they were freed from Egyptian bondage. Now, the original Greek language here is very, very strong, for the word lost in verse 12 means to utterly and completely perish, to be blotted out entirely forever, is the essence and meaning of lost. But how? How would Jesus make good on his prayer of protection for us in John chapter 17? And the answer is found for us back in John chapter 10. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. If you ever hear an evangelist saying or preaching that we are protected by the blood of Jesus, they would be right. That's good biblical theology. We are protected by the blood of Jesus. Jesus' shed blood upon the cross not only saves us, but it protects us as well. And so my prayer is that you will accept the protection that only Jesus can give. That you would take him up on John chapter 17 and apply his prayer in your life today. So what is there to pray about, my friends? Why, of course, there is the need for us to be protected and to be kept intact by our friend and Savior, Jesus, the risen Christ. Amen.